This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean,
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dean Show. This week we have with us again Dr. Hatim, who is a PhD, who's a doctor, who's a sheikh, who's an MD, pediatrician, who deals with kids, and we covered a show with him. We did a part one to this. We're doing the sequel now. You can go to his section to read a little bit more about him. He's given us some advice on the million-dollar question, how to make sure your kids don't go astray. They've been given to you pure and original goodness, not original sin. That child is born in a state of purity. How do you keep them away from all the bad things, evil things that are out there? It starts at an early age. And these are the questions that we're going to be picking his brain about when we come back here on the Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean
Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for finding time to be with us here on the Dean Show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to be here.
Now, people can go to your section. They can read about you. You are also, I didn't mention, the Dean, right, of the Sharia Academy?
Yes.
Look, you see the facial expression I just made, because you know what? There's a lot of not yet Muslims. A Muslim is one who's chosen. You know, Jesus obviously was a Muslim. Moses was a Muslim. There's some people like, is this guy crazy? Muslim is obviously one who surrendered his will to the will of the Creator. But there's some people, when they hear Sharia, they say, we don't want no Sharia over here. So what is, you know, they feel like this is the boogeyman's coming to get them. So before we go on to our topic, what does Sharia mean?
Sharia is the way to survival, the way to success. Sharia is the path that God had shown us to our prosperity in this life and the one to come. Sharia used to mean in Arabic the path to water bodies, and in Islam the way that Allah had shown us is called Sharia, because as much as water is important and essential for your physical well-being, the way of God is essential for your spiritual well-being. And we're not only matter, we are a mixture of matter and something else, which is the spiritual aspect of humanity that people or some people neglect or wish to forget about.
One more. This is just brief. It's not our topic, but just so someone's heart can be rest assured. They heard Muslim. We defined Islam and Muslims surrendering to one God, the God of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon all, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so they can rest assured. Now we define what Sharia is. It's not the boogeyman. It's a way from the Creator for success. And now, what about terrorism? Islam and terrorism. What do you got to say about this? Well, it's all over the news. They are, if you say Islam, they say terror. They say, you know what? All terrorists, not Muslim, but all Muslims seem to be doing terrorism. What do we got to say about this?
Well, it is absolutely not true. I mean, if you know, a simple study of the history will show that this is completely false. And war has been started by various people at various times for various reasons. Islam, the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says to us, do not wish to confront your enemies, but if you do, be patient. So war is not the default. War is to be avoided. War may be necessary at some times because of the cause of God, which is the cause of justice and fairness, and to deliver the oppressed from their oppression and so on and so forth. And if you look at the earlier Muslims when they engaged in war, it was all about this. It was not all. It was never about any feelings of supremacy, ethnic or otherwise, because Islam. If you look at the history, for instance, the Turks were not Arabs. The Turks are not Arabs. The Turks were not Muslims. And for Europeans particularly, they remember the Turkish conquest and this and that. Well, the Turks were not Muslim, but then when they conquered the Muslim land, Islam conquered their hearts. So they became Muslims. And it was never a matter of, you know, ethnic supremacy. The struggle against the evil is a struggle that begins from within. The first one that you need to struggle against is yourself. But it is not limited to that. It is not limited to struggling against yourself. Islam also teaches us that you want to struggle against evil within and without, outside as well. So to struggle against the evil does not mean, does not necessarily mean war, does not necessarily mean violence. The struggle against the evil is to take all, is to try all other alternatives first before the surgical alternative that is to be avoided, that is to be deferred, that no one wishes for. And the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is actually a testimony on all of those facts. And the entire history testifies just to this very fact. Add to this that in Islam, war has ethics that are matchless. Before, you know, the Geneva Convention and before everything, the war ethics in Islam, the command of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to not kill a child, an elderly person, a woman. And even the Prophet, peace be upon him, adds in a sound narration to not kill a asif. Asif means the non-combatant member of the army. So that will apply to physicians and, you know, journalists and so on and so forth. So it goes as, you know, as far as this, you know, the Prophet ﷺ went as far in preceding those Geneva Conventions to instruct us that not only that we do not kill women and children, elderly, but we do not even kill the non-combatant members of the army of the enemy if they were not combatant. Add to this that the Muslims, you know, honor their covenants and they don't do treachery and they don't betray, and they always honor their covenant. So when Muslims are given security somewhere, they do not betray the covenant with those who gave them that security.
So now people are getting a different picture. This is not our topic. We just wanted the not yet Muslims to get a better understanding so now they can be open for the advice that we give. So tell us, we talked about children, and this is our future. The future ummah is those kids coming up. And in the previous show, you can go back to thedeenshow.com and you can see part one that we did with Dr. Hatim Sheikh about the million-dollar question, how to raise the children and prevent them from going astray. We talked about the early years, mercy, making sure that children aren't in pain, that they're being fed, that all their needs are being met. And now we went from two and up, talking about the timeout method and some practical examples. So when we come back, we're going to continue this here on The Dean Show. Don't go nowhere.
I don't say to people I used to be a Christian. I still carry the values and principles of loving Jesus Christ and perhaps maybe more than people who call themselves Christians. So I think I got the best out of Christianity by becoming Muslim.
So many other things that you can enjoy without drinking a sip of alcohol. Death is the same thing. It's not an obstacle. It's not something to cause people to get completely desperate and start stopping living their lives. No, it should be a motivation. It's only one life that you're going to be living, so you better do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone.
if Allah is by my side.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here with Sheikh Dr. Hatim. So tell us now, we left off from the last show at the age, now we're about somewhere, you know, going up three. So we went from the timeout method, how to discipline them. Before we go on to seven, what you just said, just a few more examples. So is it safe to say that the child, you can't just let him be doing whatever he wants? There's got to be some guidelines, right? And we gave some practical examples, the timeout method and how you talk to them. We want to also ask you now, and if you can elaborate on what I just said, about foul language from the parents, cursing, bad behavior. Do the children pick up on all these things? And then can this be counter-effective if you're not getting yourself together, but you expect a child now to be Mr. Prince or Princess?
First of all, you know, cursing and calling people bad names is certainly counter to Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, "Laysa al-Muslim bis-sabbabi wa al-la'an wa al-fahish al-badhi." A Muslim is not one who curses, is not one who calls names, and is not one who is obscene.
That's our teachings.
That is what the Prophet said. A Muslim cannot be this.
You cannot, the tongue you use to praise the Creator, you can't curse with that tongue.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And so going back to the issue of contradiction, that's the worst thing, the worst quality that a person has is contradiction. You know, the worst kind of people that are mentioned in the Quran are the hypocrites. And the hypocrites, their problem is contradiction. You know, actions and sayings, what is inside and what is outside, the exterior and the interior. Once you have contradictions, then that you really compromise your integrity, you really compromise your credibility in the sight of your child. And keep in mind, kids are not dumb.
Yeah. You know?
They actually can read through the lines, and they can actually see deep into you, and they can actually pick up the clues that you're really not consistent.
You got to be consistent.
You absolutely need to be consistent.
Yeah. And what about now the... Because this starts off early too. If you're watching daytime, nighttime drama on the TV, this boob tube that's out there, what do you got to say about this?
That is also being not consistent in your raising of the child, because you know, when people talk about this is okay for adults and this is not okay for children, I think that message is really not making a lot of sense to the children. So you got to be 18 to, you know, like... Here we in America, I don't think that for Muslims that issue is such a prevalent problem. But you know, you can't buy alcohol until you're this, and you can't watch this until you're that, and you can't gamble until you're
like the R,
this many years old.
PG-13, G.
You know, so the child would say, you know, so what happened to me overnight? You know, like yesterday it was haram and today it's halal, or yesterday it's impermissible, today it's permissible. Nothing happened to me overnight.
You're not being consistent.
Absolutely. So we Muslims should not be doing this.
No.
You know, you should not be telling them that this is good for adults, not good for kids, or this, it's okay for me to do that. It's okay for me to be obscene. It's okay for me to call names or curse. It's okay for me to be vulgar, to be rough, or to be this or that, but it's not okay for you. Why? I mean, if it is okay, it's okay for both of us. And if it is not okay, it's not okay for both of us. So that is one thing that people really need to understand in order for them to be effective preachers in reaching out to their kids.
Are these kids picking up? If you're having like this music playing on the TV, you know, the different Jerry Springer shows, Montel Williams, all the crazy things that are on the TV, and now just the kids in front of the TV, and now you got some peace. You feel like, you know what, he's quiet now, just let him be. But is this some programming going on, profanity, promiscuity, And now years pass, is this going to have an influence? Should this be in the Muslim's house or away from the Muslim's house?
That's an excellent point, because by age 2, you can make phrases and sentences, and by age 5, you would have actually developed the majority of your language.
Yeah.
So between 2 to 5, in terms of language development, that area is very, very sensitive. So see what it is that you are, because there is input here. The input is coming from the parents, coming from the TV. And don't expect that the input will be one thing and the output will be a different thing. You know, the input, whatever you input into the child will be, you know, manifested by the child thereafter. So if the child is using profanity or his language is foul or her language is foul, then you want to ask yourself, where did this come from? You know, it came from what I allowed the child to be exposed to and part of that is, you know, my own language. So you have to be careful with your own language. If you teach the child this early on, words like inshallah, God willing, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, and they go into his language, you know, and they develop with him, they will not only be part of the language, but they also be part of the makeup, the emotional and psychological makeup of the child. The word alhamdulillah has great power, praise be to Allah. And if your child sees that you say alhamdulillah even when you're in pain, even when you have suffered some loss, that's a great lesson. Without giving any lectures, without having any microphone and giving any lectures, it's a great lesson. Because the child will then understand that, you know, we can even be content even during hard times, and we recognize Allah's bounties and favors on us because they are unlimited. You can't count them. Mm-hmm. So even if I lost this particular thing that, you know, that matters to me, there is so much that I have.
So now with the TV, what I like to do now, I mean, if you do watch something, is it good to, I like Huda TV, mm-hmm. Peace TV, there's some Islamic channels out there. Is this okay now if the children, along with possibly, what can you start reading to them at a young age? You know, so what are the things that you could implement as far as like knowledge going on from 2, 3, 4, 5 and up before they go to, because I guess the first school is the home school, you know, so before they do anything else, making sure like the bad things aren't coming in. So what can you cut off, and then to replace it, what can you replace it with good things?
I think that there should be some controlled exposure. I think that there should be exposure to sort of like you give them samples of life outside, but nothing bad. But again, at the same time, Huda TV, Peace TV, the Deen Show, etc. All of that is great and good. But there could be also some programs on Discovery Channel, for instance, that you can deem appropriate.
Okay.
I think that you need to pre-screen.
Pre-screening is very important.
I think, yeah, because you do not want your child to be exposed to something completely, you know.
Because you got all sorts, you turn a commercial, you got thumbs up. I mean, this is the real world, you know. It's like soft porn on just the, you know, average commercials.
There is too much exploitation of women.
Of women, yeah.
Which is quite.
That's the real subjugation of women.
It should be quite hurtful to women that they're being used, you know, for attraction, to grab attention.
Yeah.
The female body is being used as a commodity to grab people's attention. Even if you're advertising for a tractor, what does a tractor have to do with a beautiful woman?
Yeah.
But it's just like trying to grab people's attention. And I don't want my child to be exposed to this, and I don't want this this emphasis on you know, overemphasis on sex to be delivered to my child this early on.
So that's the pre-screening. And we'll come back here on the Deen Show with some more after this break. Don't go nowhere.
Do not kill a woman. Do not kill a child. Do not...
You know, going to different religious leaders, Buddhism, Hinduism, forms of Christianity, I even ran into people from the Nation of Islam.
Kill an old man. Do not kill an animal. Do not cut a tree down. Do not pollute their water. Do not burn their homes.
In the beginning there was nothing but Allah.
Back here with Dr. Hatim, PhD, MD, giving us some great advice here on the Dean Show. And we only have a few more minutes, so we want to, again, we're going to have you back and just continue this series.
God
continue
willing,
this
inshallah.
Series, God willing. So tell us a few more important points that the parents should know about, and then we'll go from there on how they can, you've written some books and some articles where they can continue on, because this is such a vast topic.
One of the points that they want to touch upon is the issue of encouragement. Encouragement is very important, and particularly from age 6 and 7, this issue this particular stage of the child's life is called the stage of inferiority versus industry. And the key to this stage is encouragement. Use less discouragement and more encouragement. So use more positive reinforcement and less negative reinforcement.
Give us an example, please.
I'll give you an example. In fact, Zuhri, one of the Tabi'in, which are the second generation Muslims, said to young boys, do not think little of yourselves. Do not be little of yourselves. Umar ibn al-Khattab, that is Umar ibn al-Khattab, used to invite young people to consult them on great matters, to follow the sharpness of their minds, or to seeking the sharpness of their thinking process, because adults could be multifaceted, yes, but that could overwhelm your thinking. So he wants to see the unidimensional thinking, and the children have the unidimensional thinking. So when Umar invites you, that's the leader of the Muslims. He used to lead more than 20 of the contemporary countries. So when the leader of more than 20 of the contemporary countries brings the children over and consult them on various matters, some of them are important, you can imagine how they were builders of character. They were builders of great leaders. And that is what the Prophet, peace be upon him, did. The Prophet hired Attab ibn Asid to be his viceroy on Mecca when he was less than 20. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was less than 20 when he sent him as an ambassador to Al-Yemen. Mm-hmm. And Abdullah ibn Abbas was only 10 when the Prophet, peace be upon him, died. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr was about this age when the Prophet, peace be upon him, they were contemporaries, or they're equal in age peers. Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Abdullah ibn Abbas. See how much they benefited from their companionship of the Prophet, peace be upon him, because he welcomed them. He was warm to them. He would shake hands with the children in the street to give them self-confidence, so that to encourage them and give them self-confidence, so they become the leaders of tomorrow. And that's what we fail oftentimes to do.
Few more in short. I'm going to ask you just some questions, and you tell me good or bad, and just elaborate for a moment before we cut out. Always screaming at the children when they do something wrong, good or bad?
No, it's bad. It is bad. It is basically ineffective.
Ineffective.
You know,
don't
do it. Well, you need to diversify your response to be effective, because otherwise the kid will get immune against that screaming. You develop immunity like you develop immunity to bugs. You develop immunity to behavior also.
Yeah.
So when someone has a certain behavior, you develop immunity to that behavior, even between the spouses. Mm-hmm. People need to understand that this is quite an effective way of preaching.
Public school, good or bad?
If there are alternatives, then bad.
Okay, I've heard it being compared to spiritual suicide.
I heard, actually, this is Sheikh Abdul Nasser from the Bayina Institute. He was calling it Iman warfare.
Oh, man.
So
avoid the public schools?
If there are alternatives.
Yeah.
Yes, if there are alternatives. And there are alternatives. Yeah. And the Muslim communities need to come up with more and more alternatives, not limited to Islamic schools, but also tutoring in the masjids for homeschooled kids. Yeah. If we do this, we can help a lot of parents who can't do it alone to do it with a little bit of help.
Yeah. Last closing comments and suggestions, wrapping it up, for those sincere parents who want the best for themselves and their family, what encouragement and advice do you give them, Sheikh?
I think you always start from and go back to the two conditions of the validity of anything we do in Islam, which is sincerity and correctness. And sincerity is defined by complete devotion to Allah and that which you do. You have to make sure that you are actually serving His interest, not your limited, narrow personal interest. And correctness is by following the path of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Walk behind him. He's leading you to the right way and on the right way to the right ending. If you start to walk away here or there, you can be, you can fall in the traps of the Satan's. Walk right behind him. You will get to where you believe he will get to. And as a Muslim, if you believe that he's getting to paradise, walk right behind him. He'll lead you there.
That makes sense. It's simple. And just in the last few seconds, where can people go to continue their education and read more of your work and your material?
They can go to amjaonline.org, amjaonline.org, one word. They can also go to shariaacademy.com. Amja Online is the Assembly of Muslim Jurists in America, and Sharia Academy is a higher learning institution.
JazakAllah khairan. May God Almighty Allah reward you for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Back again, inshallah.
Thanks.
And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. It starts with wanting. The treasure is out there, but do you want it? God Almighty Allah has sent us the guidance through the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And not much to add after the Sheikh has told us that we need to stick to the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and follow, be behind the one that's leading us to Jannah. He's the way, the truth, and the light. The Prophet Muhammad, last and final messenger, just the same way that you would have to not bypass the teachings of Jesus or Moses or Abraham. You had to teach, you had to follow the teachers, not worship them. They weren't gods, demigods. They didn't call you to worship themselves, but they called you to follow them because they were the ones who were teaching us how to get to paradise, how to be successful, not only in this life, but also in the hereafter. And we have the guidance from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So let's be successful. Let's have success in this life and in the next. Until next time, peace be unto you.